Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. That really is our text. I'll get there in just a minute, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Mark 16:15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them," that is Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The message from every pulpit, every time a minister of God stands behind the pulpit, ought to be the message of Jesus Christ. I want to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. This is the announcement of the shepherd of the angels to the shepherds, the announcement of the birth of Christ. Verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Christ means Messiah. It's a term of deliverance. It's a term of royalty. Lord means master. It's a term of deity. But it's his capacity as Savior that I want to talk about today. Everything, as we enter into the Easter season, as we look at the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth, everything that he did in his ministry revealed the fact that he was the Savior for all mankind. At the wedding of Cana in Cana, he saved a groom and his family from a huge social faux pas and perhaps even a lawsuit when he turned the water to wine. Now we think, oh, that's a silly thing, but that he saved them from that. And to them, that was a big deal. And we understand that because there are things in our lives that other people might not think are too big of a deal, but to us, they're a big deal. And to them, it was a big deal, and Jesus saved them from it. He saved the 5,000 and the 4,000 from hunger. He saved his disciples from storms on the sea on different occasions. He saved a lot of people from sickness and disease. He saved a lot of people from demon possession. He saved the adulteress from a stoning. He saved three people literally from physical death. I mean, he called them back from the dead. And he saved everyone then who received him as Savior from eternal death in hell for their sin. And he's still saving everyone now who will receive him as their Savior from eternal death as punishment for those sins. You've heard me say this so many times, you're probably sick of hearing me say it, but you're going to hear me say it a lot this morning. Jesus is the only Savior, and he is the Son of God. We begin to think about Easter a little bit, and as we think about that, you know, it begins and ends with Jesus. And it's important that we know and that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, not the son of Joseph, not the son of some other man, but the Son of God. The Bible is very careful and very clear to point this out. Luke 1, verses 30 and 31, and then 34 and 35, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." In Matthew, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together," that means physically, "she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Jesus is the Son of God. And he is also God. We've talked about this before. He's part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they are three separate beings, and they are also one being. So Jesus is both the Son of God, and He is God, and that's important. You remember that as we go through this sermon this morning. Jesus has always existed. He was present at creation. He was a participant in creation. He existed before time began and before man began, and He will exist long after time has ended and man has left the earth and the earth has been destroyed. Jesus is the only Savior, and He is the Savior for everyone. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." The whole world. We sometimes as Christians get a little bit arrogant, I guess is the word. We sometimes as Americans get a little bit arrogant, and we think God is just for us. That Jesus came just for us, or for a certain nationality, or a certain race of people. That's not true. Sometimes we think, well, listen, I'm a Christian because I'm an American. Or I'm a Christian because my folks were. Or I'm a Christian because I joined the Free Will Baptist Church. Jesus is the Savior for Free Will Baptists and Americans and everybody all over the world. There's only one other place in the Gospels where Jesus is referred to as Savior. That's in John 4:42, and this is what it says. "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Amen. That was a group of Samaritans folks who said that. Mixed race of Jewish people, outcasts regarded by the Jewish people, and yet they understood that Jesus was their Savior and the Savior for the whole world. He was the Savior for the publican who received Him, and He was the Savior for the Pharisee who rejected Him. He's the Savior for everybody, for everyone who receives Him, and He's also the Savior for all those who reject Him. He's available, He's there, He's willing, even for those who reject Him. He was the Savior for the demon-possessed man. You remember that guy that lived out at the cemetery? He was a wild man, a crazy man, but Jesus was his Savior. He was the Savior for Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a member of the Pharisees' council, the Sanhedrin court. And he was respected and well known in the Jewish community. Jesus was his Savior. Jesus was the Savior for those little kids that were brought to Him. Young kids. He was also the Savior for the adults who brought them and the adults who came to Him. Young and old, rich and poor, known and unknown, it doesn't make any difference who you are or where you are the world over. Jesus is your Savior. And He's your only Savior. Jesus is the only Savior, and He can do anything. Amen. I want you to listen to this. I want to tell you something. You know, every now and then I get a sermon. Most of the times when I get a sermon, I'm pretty sure that that's the sermon that God has for me on this particular Sunday morning, whatever it might be. Occasionally I'll get a sermon, and even as I'm constructing the sermon, I in my mind I'm thinking, yeah, I'm just not sure this is the right one. This happened to me this week as I prepared this message this morning. I had preached something that I thought was similar 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I thought, well, they'll all remember everything I said then, and so I can't repeat myself. Something happened this morning, just this morning, before church began, that confirmed in my mind that this is the right message for the people who are here today. Amen. Jesus is the only Savior, and He can do anything. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Would you write down that reference, Jeremiah 32:17? And when you get home this afternoon, would you look that up? And would you underline that last phrase, "and there is nothing too hard for Thee"? Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I've already mentioned some of the miracles that Jesus performed during His earthly ministry. He healed the sick, He raised the dead, He made the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. He did all of those things. He stilled storms, He multiplied food. all the wonderful miracles. He cast out demons. He turned the water to wine. All that stuff. We don't often think of it as a miracle, but Jesus also lived a perfect, sinless life. Now, that's a miracle. There's not another human being who has ever existed or who will ever exist who can live a perfect, sinless life, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you really believe that Jesus can do anything? Do you really believe that there's no problem too big, too hard for Him to solve? Do you really believe that? Christian, do you really believe that? I see your heads going up and down. Yes, I believe. Now listen, if we really believe it, it will change the way that we live. I see Christians all the time. Oh, yes, Pastor, I believe God can do anything, but their life doesn't prove it. Listen, if Jesus can do anything, when you are too weak to carry on, He'll give you strength to carry on. How many times have you been in a place in your life where you say, well, I just can't do it another minute? Well, you don't believe Jesus can do anything. Because if you believed He could do anything, you wouldn't be saying, I can't do it another minute. You can say, I can do it as long as God wants me to do it. If Jesus can do anything, if you are in turmoil and distress, He can give you peace. Life is tough, isn't it? I mean, stuff happens. Cars break down. Water pipes bust. Things happen. Kids get in the mess. Moms and dads get in the mess. People lose jobs. The economy goes south. The government goes crazy. Life is a mess. It causes us turmoil and it causes us distress and it causes us stress. But if Jesus can do anything, He can give us peace. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, peace I leave with thee. My peace I give unto thee. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Listen, peace, Christian, peace is there. All we have to do is live in it. If Jesus can do anything when you are all alone, Jesus can be your constant companion and He will never leave you. Don't you sometimes feel lonely? Don't you sometimes feel like you're all by yourself? Maybe friends have forsaken you. Maybe family's moved off. Maybe you've lost some loved ones to death, whatever the circumstances are. Maybe you've been cast out of your group of friends at school or at work or the social group that you've been a part of. All of a sudden they don't want you anymore and you feel all alone. Well, if Jesus can do anything, He can be your present, constant companion. And He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. If Jesus can do anything when you don't know where to turn and what to do, Jesus can give you direction and Jesus can give you purpose. You do not have a problem that is too big for Jesus. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. Now listen, if we really believe that, then we need to, Christian, we need to live in the victory that the omnipotent power of Jesus brings. Amen. I understand. Listen, I understand being discouraged. Things sometimes get tough. Sometimes it just seems like they just pile one right up on top of another, doesn't it? When one thing happens, 10 things happen. I understand being discouraged, but we must not live in discouragement. We must live in the victory and the power of Jesus Christ. I understand loneliness. I've been lonely in my life, but you can't live in loneliness. We must live in victory. Jesus gives, He can do anything. He gives victory. I understand stress. When I took this job 18 years ago, I had hair. But Jesus gives peace. If He can do anything, we need to live in the victory that Jesus gives. And Christians, we don't do that. We live discouraged. I don't mean that we get discouraged occasionally. I mean we live discouraged. We live despondent. We live in stress. We live in fatigue. We live in failure. And yet we say, I believe with God nothing is impossible. Well, do you really think God wants you to live that way? He said, I have come to give them life and give them life abundantly. We need to live in victory. I'm not saying be blind to the problems and be one of those, oh, everything will be all right guys in spite of everything else. But listen, everything will be all right in spite of everything else. Because Jesus can do anything. He is the only Savior and He is the soon coming King. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when He had spoken these things, that is when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, I love this. This is another thing to mark in your Bible. They're standing there looking at Jesus. And these two angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. He's coming back, boys. Why are you standing there wasting time? There's things to be done. There's preparations to be made. Jesus is coming back. Years ago, I don't remember when. I think it was when I was in college, a long time ago. There was a group of people that decided that Jesus was coming real soon. I mean, just imminently. So I think they sold all their property and pooled their money and bought property in Arkansas or someplace up in the mountains somewhere. And they were just going to all go up there and sit and wait for Jesus to come back. They were just going to sit there and look at the eastern sky. And I think God must have been speaking to them saying, ye people of Arkansas or wherever you were, why are you sitting here looking up into heaven? Get busy! Yes. Jesus is coming. There's souls to be saved. There's work to be done. There's people to be witnessed to. There's prayers to be prayed and songs to be sung and praise to be had. Jesus is coming. Get ready and get busy. In John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Revelation 22, 12, Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I come quickly. When Jesus comes, and He is coming soon, He will not come as Savior. He will come as Judge. Romans 14:10 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Timothy 4:1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. The quick is the living. Jesus is your only Savior right now. And He will be your only Savior right up to the time that you die. And He will be the only Savior for the world right up until the time that He returns. But when He returns, or when you die, He is no longer your Savior. He is your Judge. Jesus, the Judge, is coming. So don't stand and look at the eastern sky. Get busy. And get ready. Jesus is the only Savior. And listen, He loves you. I've already read John 3:16 that told us about God loving the world so much. You remember, God and Jesus are the same person. God loving the world so much that He gave His only Son to die on the cross. Jesus loves you. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the substitute to pay the price for our sin. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then He laid down His life for you on the cross of Calvary. Jesus loves you. That's another thing that as Christians we say that. Oh, Jesus loves you. And so sometimes it almost becomes flippant. Oh, Jesus loves you. But listen, it's the truth. Jesus loves you. He knows you. He knows every failure, every problem, every sin, every thought, every word, every attitude. He knows it all. And He loves you anyway. He is the only Savior. And He will forgive you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If standing is difficult, please feel free to remain seated. It's fine.